Welcome to This Week in Debian, the podcast bringing you the latest interviews and news inside the Debian community, brought to you by frostbitemedia.org, the network bringing you your favorite GNU Linux podcasts.
Going 7 years strong. You love Linux? We live it. You want FOSS? We're gonna dish it out. You like to eat? We have some tips for you. You want crappy audio? Hopefully that's not us anymore. You want the hoagie guy? Why would you want the hoagie guy? You can have him. Join us each Wednesday night at 8:30 Eastern, 12:30 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, that's 1:30 Daylight Savings Time, for live streaming fun and excitement as we discuss Linux, free and open source software, technology, cooking, movies, games, and anything else our little geeky hearts desire, between ourselves and with interesting guests from a wide range of backgrounds guaranteed to please. Check us out at TLLTS.org on how you can catch the stream and be a part of the show via IRC. Can't make the live show? Check out our RSS feeds or download a show from TLLTS.org. Want AUG? We got it. Want Speaks? We got it. Hey Freedom, we got MP3 too. Woohoo! It's all there, baby. No flack, that's too much. When you're done listening to us, be sure to check out the other fine Linux and tech-related shows over at the LinuxLink.net. Have a show that's not on the LinuxLink.net? Drop me a line at Dan at the That's Dan with two N's, double N Dan. At the LinuxLink.net, and I'll be sure to add you. We hope you give us a listen at the Linux Link Tech Show and join us as we count down the days to season 3.
Daddy has a gun!
Hey, thanks for listening, but before we get into the interview, I want to mention a sponsor that we have this week. It's Mobile Tide. Mobile Tide is a website that gives you great deals on cell phones, and if you're looking for some Android deals right now, these guys have some awesome deals. If you want to get a Droid X, you can get one for $20 with a 2-year contract, or you can get the Droid Incredible for free with a 2-year contract. And the greatest deal is one that I unfortunately can't mention, but what I can say is the R2-D2 version of the Droid 2. Go to frostbitemedia.org/mobiletide. Go there, put the R2-D2 phone into your shopping cart, and you'll see the price. It's the cheapest one I've ever seen. And I just want to thank Mobile Tide for sponsoring us. And go check out frostbitemedia.org/mobiletide. Here's the interview. Hello, welcome to This Week in Debian. Today we are speaking with Rhonda, who is a very active member in the Debian community. Rhonda, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, not a problem. So, well, Rhonda, before we get too far into the interview, everyone that I speak with, I like to ask him, how did you first get involved into Linux?
Well, it was on a computer of my older brother back in 1994. He was running SuSE on it, and I just used it at that time a bit. It was quite interesting, but I mostly put it back into Windows to play around on Mathematica or something like that. 2 years later, when I started on the technical university, they had already a Linux project going on there, and that's when I started to dig a bit more into it. Naturally, on the technical university, they had some Unix hosts with AIX and I think HP UX Unix on it, and through that I got more and more involved or rather interested in this Linux thing. So yeah,
that's where
I started.
That's pretty cool. So then you started with OpenSUSE, but how did you then end up moving into the Debian community? How did you discover Debian?
Well, I'm not sure what release of SUSE it was back then. OpenSUSE wasn't found
Oh, okay.
at that time. It was, I think, 5.2 or 5.3 or something like that. They started the bundle GNOME, the very early beta version of it, and it was really hard to get it installed from their CDs. It gave me the impression that they didn't even try to install the packages because the dependencies were all wrong. One had to tweak some configuration files to get it started at all. And at that point, I was looking for an alternative. And a working colleague back then handed me two Debian CDs that were in a German PC magazine contained, and I installed it on my laptop back then and never switched back because it just worked.
What is it about Debian that, because when we spoke you said you've been working with Debian for like 10 years, what is it about Debian that that you like so much and that's kept you so involved in the community?
Well, it's what got me interested in Debian right from the start, because the packages in Debian actually are maintained by people using them. So they have a quite natural interest in putting a lot of quality into it, because they depend on the software, the package, for their daily work. So naturally, a lot of quality comes with that. One wouldn't put out a package into the wild that they use themselves, that they know that it's not working.
Yeah.
And that got me quite interested and involved. And I had a friend who was doing a nice login manager for the text console. And I saw it lacking within Debian, and that got me involved into packaging.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. Yeah, well, we were talking before the interview, we're trying to nail down a couple of different things to talk about because you do so much. So the first thing I wanted to bring up is the new Debian website that you guys are working on. You mentioned that you're part of the webmaster team. Could you talk a little bit about what we might be looking forward to when Squeeze comes out for a new website?
Sure. Everything in Debian is usually done in the open. You can already see the new website design on w3.deb.at. DEB for Debian short. That's my private domain, deb.at, and I have the test site for the w3 Debian.org on there to view for the people how it will look, how it might look, because there are still some glitches that we are working on, and we are constantly also looking for feedback about that. There are also some other services that we like to cover, that we will cover, like the wiki will be adopted, the packages, Debian.org website will be adjusted, and some others too. And for all that, we have set up some test sites. I've covered most of them in my blog. You can find links through that to the test sites, or also in the Debian Wiki, there is a site about the whole redesign work, where we have statuses and links to the various test sites too.
Man, so that's going to be a major overhaul if you're going to be excuse me, if you're going to be applying the wiki and the packages.debian, Debian must be a gigantic website. That must be quite the effort to pull something like this off.
Yes, we've been working for a very long time on this already. The original proposal for this, I think, dates back to 2006 already.
Wow.
When Carlos started to work on it. Carlos Ullermann, he works professionally on web design and did suggest this for the Debian website. But he did not only suggest a new design for the website, but especially did think about all the different services and come up with a concept that would work for all the different services and not only for the main website. He also did dig various levels deep into the main website, because there are some parts that are very tricky and built in a different way. And he did think of all this, so it naturally came to me to adopt it, because it just works and it looks new, fresh, and will hopefully tell the people that the website team is not dead.
Now, if you go to the test site that you have up at the W3, is that like a fully functioning like test site? Like, can you click on links and it'll bring you places? Like, can people file bugs against something if it doesn't work right? Or is it just there to kind of give you a look and feel?
No, we're using the actual code behind the website, so it's a fully working website. It's not the current website. I think I last built it several weeks ago. I haven't touched it since a while, so it's not using the latest security advisories or the latest news entries. So it's not a site that you can use for your daily work currently already, because I'm not constantly rebuilding the site. But it's working through very deeply and very well already.
Now the website, I mean, is all this stuff on the back end, is it all hand-coded? You're not using, like, any sort of, like, open-source, like, content management
sorry,
system?
Can you repeat the question? There was some hiccup in the network for me.
Oh, sure. The website that you're building, like, all this stuff is, like, hand-coded. You're not using, like, Drupal or anything. You're doing all this stuff by hand, right?
Mostly. There is the website meta language, WML, by Ralph S. Engelschall. It's quite old and it's stuck, but it's quite powerful, because you can use the full power of Perl. It uses embedded Perl, and you can do mostly anything with Perl. And through that, you have a very powerful templating toolkit, and it has a very great dependency-based system, so it only rebuilds the part that really needs to get changed and doesn't compile every page on every new thing. So in the actually files, there's only really the content and all the navigation bar, CSS and everything around that is not a bother to anyone who wants to contribute content to the website. They don't need to know very much. They just put in the content, and the rest is done naturally and magically in the background.
Okay. So with how many other people are working on this with you? Is it just you, or is it a handful of people?
It's a handful of people. There's one guy from Martinique. Kalle, of course, is working in the background with us. There's one person from Denmark, if I'm not mistaken. And German, it's Italy. It's naturally, Debian is a quite international project, so we have people from around the world working with us.
Yeah.
But there's also always a need for further people to help us out.
Where could people go if they were interested in helping out? Is there any particular website they can go to, or a wiki page or something?
Well, we have debian-w3@listsdebian.org mailing list. We also have the IRC channel, #debian-w3 on OFTC network, where you can hang out with us and discuss and chat with us, and we can help you along.
Cool. So, and then when I was talking to you earlier, you said you guys are aiming to have this done for the release of Squeeze then, right?
Yeah, sure. We want to release the new website together with the Squeeze release itself.
Cool. So then does that mean you have some insight on when Squeeze might be released?
Not too deep. It's the natural statement that you will get from anyone. It's ready when it's ready. There are still about 70 release kit critical bugs last I looked at, that needs to get addressed by either removing the packages, ignoring them for the release, and saying they are not really that severe that they will delay the release any further. But naturally, we just receive a 2 or 3 days ahead notice about, because one part of the webmaster team also should be part of the release process, because rebuilding the naturally the release team gives us an ahead notice of a few days, because all the rebuilding of the website and getting stuff online needs to get done. But I can't tell you if it will be in 2 weeks or 3 weeks' time, sorry.
No, that's no problem. So is there 70 critical bugs or just 70 bugs?
There are around 70 bugs that are considered release critical. So they are either security related or making the package totally unusable for a fair amount of users or things like that.
Okay. So earlier in, before the interview, we were talking about how you work on backports. Can you tell our listeners what backports are and how those work?
Sure. To get a stable Debian release, we are freezing the versions in the stable release. So when there is a problem with a package in stable, the bug has to get fixed there. Security bugs, critical bugs, and things like that have to get fixed in the version that is part of the stable release. Only this ensures that you really have a stable system. Sometimes, though, some people want a newer feature of a specific package, and this is where backports come in. We are taking package versions from the next in preparation stable release. So currently we are backporting, we are taking the versions from packages in Squeeze and build them in a stable Lenny environment and make them available for that for Lenny. So you just have to pull in the specific package that you want from backports and have otherwise a complete stable release Lenny system with full support, security support, and everything else.
So can a user use backports for any package, or is it only packages maintained, you know, do people maintain specific backport packages, or do you have full access to all of the, like, the Squeeze backports for Lenny? How does that work?
No, it's like with everything in Debian, you need to find a maintainer for the package.
Okay.
And so backports are just done for a very specific set of packages where people really see the need and want these packages, like e.g. The Pidgin instant messaging client, the version in Squeeze supports video chat,
right?
And the version in Lenny does not support it. So it's naturally a package that is a good candidate for a backport, and actually it is available through backports. Also, Postgres is a very common thing that people want to run on the server in the latest version because of all the speed enhancements and other things. And in the stable release, we only have Postgres in the 8.3 version. And on backports, we also offer 8.4, which will be part of Squeeze. And through backports, we make it available for Lenny already.
So can you tell us what the process is to, like, you know, package a backport and, like, maintain it? And, like, and how does a user even enable a backport into Lenny? Like, how, you know, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we only accept official Debian developers for doing the backports. We're in the working to accept also Debian maintainers that can upload specific packages to the Debian pool, because we want a really great quality approach on backports, because the packages will get installed on a stable system, and people expect these backports to be as stable as the Lenny system is, and don't want any further disruption through that. So we're expecting a lot of quality approach from the maintainers of the backports, and we try to ensure that through only accepting official Debian developers currently. Naturally, we also do as minimum of changes to the source package. Usually it's just reducing some build dependencies or things like that, or checking if it's really disabling, maybe even disabling some feature because they require libraries not available in Lenny. But this is really special cases in some areas. The changes between the squeeze and the Lenny backport source package is usually quite minimum. And through that, we try to have a fair amount of quality and minimum problems. Because if there's a bug report about a backport, it often also affects the package in squeeze. So it's a win-win situation.
Okay.
So bugs found here, fixed for everyone.
Okay, that's cool. So then how does the user go about enabling backports? Do they have to, like, add a backport repo to their sources.list? How do you go about doing that?
Yes, there's a need to add it to the sources list. We have on backports.debian.org, there's the instructions link where you can find what to put into your sources list. There's also, of course, mirrors of the backports, so you don't have to use w3backports.org. Sorry, that was the old URL. You don't have to use backports.debian.org as the main archive. You can use a mirror, like for the main archive too.
Okay.
And it is encouraged to also adjust the etc apt preferences file that updates for backports can get pulled in automatically, but only for the packages you pulled from backports.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to pull in all the packages that are on backports, but only the specific ones that you require that specific feature for.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is all covered in the instructions that you can find on the website, backports.debian.org.
So if you say if you wanted, like, that newer pigeon, like you were saying, and you install the backport pigeon, does it just basically install over the older pigeon so that only the newer pigeon shows up in your internet options, you know, in, like, GNOME or whatever? Does it, like, replace it, basically?
Of course, yes. It's just the pigeon package. It doesn't install it side by side. It's like an upgrade to squeeze.
Okay.
And it will work with the whole package system that Debian is quite proud of.
Cool. Now, if someone wants to get involved into doing backports, I know you said it has to be Debian developers.
That's right, yes.
So where would a developer have to go if he was interested in doing something like that, if he wasn't aware of it?
Also, on the backports.debian.org, we have the contribute section, which explains all the process. You have to get your key added to the keyring.
Okay.
And there we tell people about the about the instructions, how to do backports, that they really should only apply minimum changes to the package from testing, and should that well, and that they should also subscribe to the Debian backports mailing list, which will currently cover bug reports about it. The bug tracking system is not yet able to cover for the backports versions. Version tracking isn't up for that yet.
Okay.
This will have to be done at a later stage. Unfortunately, that's not ready yet.
Okay. Well, Ron, is there anything else that you wanted to go over or discuss? Anything that I might have overlooked?
Like mentioned, release critical bugs are still there in the upcoming Squeeze release and delaying the release of Squeeze. But we also have a fair amount of release critical bugs in the current stable release in Lenny. And if people do want to work on those, I would really encourage and invite them to do so.
Yes, definitely.
Feel free to contact me. This is also part of my quality assurance approach. I want to work on the stable release critical bugs to get rid of them. A fair amount of them are false positives because of the version tracking. So some people just didn't set the version or the version in stable and testing is the same.
Oh, okay.
The bug though doesn't really apply to stable and things like that, but there's a fair amount of minor security issues that the security team doesn't consider important enough to do a security advisory about, so they depend on the maintainers or about they depend upon anyone else interested to fix these issues for the stable release. So a lot of help is wanted and needed here.
So what can they do to get a hold of you to help out this effort?
You can mail me at ronda@debian.org. You can catch me on IRC. Just don't expect an instant response. I have a lot of work to do, naturally. And also have a small baby to care for. So even though my IRC client is online 24/7, I'm personally not on 24/7. But if you send me a message, I will get back to you when I'm back online and will try to find a response that helps you along.
Awesome. Well, Rhonda, I thank you for working on the backports and doing this interview and also tackling the website to get a new website up. I think that must be quite the daunting task. So I thank you on behalf of the Debian community for your work, and enjoy getting the website ready for Squeeze when it comes out.
Yeah, I hope we will be able to manage most of that.
like I said, I can't imagine that the Debian website must be enormous, so that must be quite the task.
Testing some fine prints in some special areas is quite a bit troublesome because they're built from different sources, and through that requires special attention. It's not just a single CSS file to tweak.
Right. Well, again, thank you for your time, and thanks for doing this interview, and we'll speak to you sometime soon.
Sure. Would be great.
All right, yeah, definitely. Well, I'm sure we'll have to do another interview because we didn't even touch on half the other stuff that you do. So we'll keep in touch and get you back on again.
Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks, Rhonda, for your time. We'll talk to you later.
See you around.
All right, bye. Thank you for listening to This Week in Debian. If you know someone or you yourself are in the Debian community, please get a hold of us. We can interview you. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Again, that email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.